All aboard for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of
Bromo Seltzer.
Tonight, Bromo Seltzer's Vox Pop train travels to Hollywood, California, dropping in on the Armed Forces Radio Service, which sends the world's finest radio programs to the world's finest fighting men overseas over the world's largest radio network. And here are your two Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Hollywood.
This is Parks Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull. And here's something you've never heard before unless you've been overseas in uniform. Listen.
Presenting this week and every week, the stars as requested by you, the men and women of the armed forces. Bing Crosby, Dinah Shore, Bob Hope, Loretta Young, Lyle Barrymore, Rita Hayworth, Jose Turby, Ginger Rogers, Danny Kaye, Johnny Mercer, Betty Davis, Jimmy Durante, Jinx Falkenberg, Cary Grant.
Yes, all of those Hollywood... All of those Hollywood stars were on one command performance program. Just one of the great programs sent to our men overseas.
And Parks, all of those stars, and one more, our special guest tonight, the world's most popular radio personality. Guess who it is?
You've got me guessing, Warren. No, you haven't either. But our first Vox Popper comes. All right, folks, here he is. By the way, we still want to say that we're with our men who fought overseas. We've been with you on these programs for over 5 years now, and we're going to be with you from now on whenever you want us. And here's our first Vox Popper, who went overseas in the year 1942 as an Air Force sergeant. He came back as a first lieutenant. In between, he did a little bit of invading in North Africa and a bit of invading in Italy. But most important, he fought for and built the Army's first mobile radio station. Folks, we want you to meet him from Clinton, Iowa. Tall, good-looking, and single, Lieutenant Vern Carstensen.
Thanks for all this.
Vern, I hear you organized an outfit in Italy that was called the Drips. Is that right?
Well, the outfit itself wasn't called Drips, but we organized the Old Oaken Bucket, which had an Old Oaken Bucket brigade with about, 10,000 drips.
That isn't as bad, then, as it sounds, is it?
Not exactly. We had some pretty fancy drips.
Yes?
Yeah.
Who, for instance?
Well, we had General Eisenhower, who was a drip. General Clark, who was a drip.
Yeah.
And our own...
Imagine that, a vice lieutenant saying things like that up there.
Well, my present boss, Colonel Tom Lewis, is a drip.
All kidding aside, I bet it was a...
I take that back.
I bet it was a swell organization.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Now, that mobile radio station, that came, of course, after many months when you were overseas. There was a big need for it, was there?
There was a great need. We found it out when we entered Italy and set up a fixed station in Naples. The Fifth Army moved on, and they wanted their armed forces radio service programs. And the only way we could give them to them is to move the station up. And the only way I could figure out to move that station up was to put it on wheels.
And you did, huh?
That's what we did.
Uh-huh. Well, how many hours a day are you on the air with?
We were on the air 18 hours a day carrying a full broadcast schedule, just like a radio station in the United States.
Well, you were part of the Army network, wasn't you?
That's right.
Well, tell me, what kind of programs you put on? Live talent, recordings, and what all, for instance?
We carried all types of programs. We carried the excellent Armed Forces Radio Service shows, their own productions, as well as the decommercialized shows, which the sponsors and the hundreds of stars and unions and so forth presented.
Mm-hmm.
We also carried our own record show. We had a record selection of over 5,000. We carried our own live shows utilizing all the USO talent that came over.
In other words, you probably had as much or better than we had over here. Sounds like to me.
Well, I kind of think we did, yeah.
Say, wasn't it your radio outfit that almost caused a flapjack batter shortage over there in Italy, Vern?
Yes, that was quite an incident. During our early morning program, a fellow wrote in for a request and also stated that he could make the best flapjacks in the Army.
Yeah.
We announced it over the air, and immediately we started receiving letters that everybody else could make just as good flapjacks. So we told them the only way we could tell was to test. And this one particular mess sergeant had flapjacks every other morning at his outfit, and we also had flapjacks every other morning.
Ah.
But he would bring them around to us.
Method in that madness, huh?
Flapjacks, coffee, syrup, everything.
We do those things on radio occasionally, don't we, Vern, huh?
Yes, and get by with it.
They're
all right, don't
they? Pretty good flapjacks, too. You get a lot of fan mail, I know.
How many flapjacks do you get?
They're mine, oh boy. Not as many as you get. How about your fan mail? Pretty heavy?
We had a tremendous amount of fan mail. We were averaging about 2,500 letters a month over there.
Fellas telling you what they wanted and what they liked,
with one station.
Yeah. Say, did you get mixed up with Axis Sally any over there?
Why, Axis Sally caused us a great deal of trouble at one time. She kept on warning us at different times that the Air Force knew where we were located and were going to take out after us. Usually, we took it as a joke because nothing ever happened.
Did something happen?
This one particular time, she gave us the warning. We laughed it off as usual. However, that night, about, just as it was getting dark, the chief engineer heard a peculiar whistling sound. And shortly after that, heard a machine gun open up, and it was a German plane that had killed its motor and...
Coming on your beam, I'll bet, huh?
And strafed in on our beam.
But no harm?
No harm done, although a bomb dropped about 50 yards.
Well, we could talk on and on and on, but we wanted the folks to meet the man who really fought for that first mobile station. You've got him, I know, all over the world now.
That's right.
So we're going to talk more about that as we go along through the program. But right now, from good old Bromo Seltzer, some things we hope you like and remember us by. First, we got a beautiful Champions tennis racket in a press and a half a dozen live tennis balls to go with it. Second, we've got... Bring it out here, Dave. Let me look at it. It's a radio, four speakers on the thing. It's a Philco. You can reach out and get them, and if you don't, it's a high fidelity trick. Can you use that, Vine?
Well, it's very appropriate for a radio man.
Very appropriate for a radio man. Thank you a lot, Lieutenant Vine Carson.
The Armed Forces Radio Service supplies its network stations with up to 12 hours of programs for every day in the week. And a short time ago, it shipped its millionth record. We want you to meet the first enlisted man to join the AFRS when it was organized here in December 1942. He's 34, from New York City, Master Sergeant Peter Witt. They tell us that you're in charge of the long-haired program.
Yeah, in spite of the lack of it.
No hair.
Baldy with a long hair.
Yeah. Well, what are your qualifications? Why did they assign you to those programs?
Well, I have spent most of my life in the world of music. I studied music all my life, and I've spent among the musicians, and I have also worked in show business for a long time.
Oh, really? Well, what were you doing before the war?
For the war, I used to produce radio shows and write radio shows in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work in motion pictures out here in Hollywood and in New York and in Europe.
Well, you when you came here to AFRS, you started in a pretty small way, didn't you?
Yeah, we started on a GI shoestring.
Yeah.
And we were all in one room, practically, and it was all pretty cramped, but we turned out the shows. And
well, you've come a long way.
Yes, a very long way.
Well, now tell us about your programs, the one you work on.
Well, I work on the, as we say, long-haired stuff. Mostly I do a concert program, which is called Concert Hall, and it's a one-week, half-hour show in which we present the greatest artists in the world.
Who's on Concert Hall?
Well, we have, as a regular MC, we have Lionel Barrymore on the show, and he's a grand man to work with. He has never missed a show in over a year.
Good.
And I know it's great trouble for him sometimes to come, but he has made every show, and then we have the...
Who's conducted the orchestra?
A man you probably know from radio, Meredith Wilson.
Oh,
he used to be a major with us, and he is now a happy civilian.
Uh-huh. Well, anywhere Meredith...
I wish I were, too.
Anywhere Meredith is, I know he'd do a good, very good job. How about the orchestra? Are they GI?
Yeah, strictly. Strictly GI, and but only as far as the uniform goes, not as far as their work goes. Yeah. I think they're about the finest musicians you can find anywhere. And
good. Do these great artists that you have on Concert Hall do great work on the recordings for the GIs?
The greatest. I don't think that any of them has ever troubled as much in his own private career about his work as they did when they worked for us. I mean, even the greatest people like Heifetz and Menuhin and Rubinstein and all these great music stars, they really have been working very hard.
For little things, would they do a recording over?
Oh, would they do a recording over? I can remind you of a story. I remember a story where one day I was recording with somebody and we were all through the show and he finally came back and he said that all through the concert he has been worrying about his first number. Could he play the first number over again? I think it was Rubinstein. And in spite of the fact that it had been passed and was wonderful, he insisted on doing it over again because these people felt that the very best was just about good enough for the fellows overseas.
Well, what was the matter with it?
Well, Rubinstein just, I think, made a slight mistake, but one day Menuhin was recording, and he recorded for us the morning after his Bowl concert, and he had played the night before in the Hollywood Bowl, and he started working for us at 9 o'clock in the morning, and somehow we both felt, he and I felt, that the violin wasn't quite up to par and up to scratch, and so he couldn't find out what was the matter with it, and I said, yes, it didn't sound his usual set. So he said, well, finally he caught on the idea, and he said he thinks that his violin was tired.
Tired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite know what he meant by it. And he said, well, he had played the night before in the Bowl in this open air, and he has always two violins with him, so he just exchanged his violin and played the other violin, which made all the difference in the world.
That makes a difference.
Very great, you know. It's the violin is a living instrument, you know. It's like a woman. You have to treat her well. You have to play her in the good places. You can't just take a good violin player anywhere. And,
you could follow that analogy a long way, I know.
In moods. Yes.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Peter. Mm-hmm. And just want to state that we're all very glad that the fellows don't have to listen to your programs in foxholes anymore. But they do need them just as much while they're over there as millions of them will have to be. And, Peter, speaking of recordings, you'll receive one of this interview as a gift from us. And also, Bromel Seltzer has for you, and this will come in handy with your work, a 15-jewel chronograph. Now, that's sort of a combination watch, stopwatch, tachometer, weather forecaster, and whatnot. And now, wait a minute. Knowing that you have a furlough coming up and New York is your destination, here's a leg up on your trip. It'll get you a good part of the way. And so that you'll look the part, here's something to make you really long-haired. That's a very fine black wig. Thanks, Master Sergeant Peter West. I'm yours. Let's go.
Okay, Fox. We can't all see ourselves as others see us, but sometimes, well, hear what Dick Joy has to say.
Here, Parks, is a man who did have that opportunity. Was Mr. B's face red when he picked up his extension phone and heard...
Bye now. Have to take dictation from Mr. Sourpuss.
Sourpuss? I'll teach that young lady. Where's that mirror? She's right. Better do something about this headache.
Yes, sir. High time someone gave the boss a little dictation. Take a memo, Mr. B. Why drag through the day unhappy with headache? Get Bromo Seltzer. Helps three ways fast. Yes, headache plus upset stomach and frazzled nerves that may come with it. Bromo Seltzer's made to fight all three. It's good business to look your best, so feel your best. For three-way fast relief from ordinary headache, try Bromo Seltzer, time-tested favorite of four generations. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight, then...
Fight headache three ways! Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Hawks Johnson back with the Armed Forces Radio Service Group. And folks, there's an Armed Forces Radio Service program that soldiers and Marines in jungles, sailors... on the seas, flyers in the air, and wounded in hospitals, look forward to every day. It's called G.I. Jive. Now, G.I. Jive is a recorded musical program, and in between the musical numbers comes the voice of an American girl who just talks to the men. To some, she's one thing. To others, she's another. But to each one, she's home and the things and the life that he dreams about and loves. Now, just for a moment, we're going to switch to a studio and eavesdrop on whatever may be going on in a typical G.I. Jive program being recorded. Okay, Engineer Whitaker, give us the G.I. Jive studio.
This is G.I. Jill with G.I. Jive, ready to throw a tune or three on the beam. Tonight's show is dedicated to a certain unit at APO 726. It seems that at this moment, this unit is celebrating their third birthday with a big party, and they want me, mind you, to sing happy birthday. Oh, now, fellas, you know I can't sing. And about that other request, gosh, I don't see how it'll work, but... Never let it be said that G.I. Jill ever turned down a request. Okay, I'm ready if you are. Are they all lit? All right, here goes. Well, did I get all three of them? Oh, brother, let's get to the music. Here's a song for the man aboard the Little L, more formally known as the USS Lovering. It's the 1 o'clock jump.
Now, that's just a tiny sample of G.I. Jive, the most popular program. As I was saying, it's the most popular program on the world's largest network, the Armed Forces Radio Service. And that was Buddy Cole's group making the music in the background. And the girl, she's the most listened to person in radio today. In a few minutes, we're going to bring her out to our microphone here on the stage and introduce her to you so that you can chat with her. But right now, Warren, who's next?
Well, I just wanted to say that Command Performance, GI Journal, Mail Call, Jubilee are some more favorite programs with servicemen. And here's a man who works on them as a comedy writer. In the old days, he worked for Crosby, Bergen, Valley, and we were together on Jack Haley's program. He's 30, from Los Angeles, Seaman First Class Charles Isaacs of the Coast Guard. Charlie, it must be fun being a comedy writer.
No, it's not. Not at all. It really scrambles your brains, and when you're in service writing those shows, it makes powdered eggs out of your head.
I was just wondering, can you make your wife laugh at breakfast?
Yes, but not anything I say. It's the way I look in the morning.
Oh, I see. Well, we're off to a good start. Say, what were you doing in the Coast Guard before coming to the Armed Forces Radio Service?
Well, after boot camp, I was transferred to public relations, and they finally got me down to writing spy recruiting announcements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, release a man to fight at sea.
Mm-hmm.
So I released myself and ended up on a ship.
Yeah, I can see from those service ribbons you've been overseas there. You've been on the receiving end of this radio business, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. Of course, when we were first out there, we heard nothing but Tokyo Rose up off New Guinea, Dutch New Guinea, and so
mm-hmm.
on. But after Hollandia was taken, they established an AFRS station there.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, it was G.I. Jill.
Ah, good. Well, I suppose Tokyo Rose operated a little differently than Jill, didn't she?
Yes, she did have a little music, but her chatter wasn't so well received. Up at Sansapore once, she told us that we had a bombing. And the next day, she said, "How'd you boys like the visit last night? We'll be over again tonight, same time, same place." So they came back that night, but we got one, a twin-engine bomber.
Oh, good. What was your battle station, by the way?
Pointer on number one gun.
You didn't feel so funny, like gags, when you were looking at that barrel at a jet plane?
I thought that was one joke that would kill me.
How do you like it being back here at AFRS?
Well, it's swell. I like it over there very much. Worst you can get is an ulcer there.
Oh. Well, after being over on the other side, I can see that. Who? Tell us some of the other top comedy writers over there who are working for $60 a month.
Well, there's Bill Morrow of the Jack Benny Show, Mark Fisher from Jack Carson. They're both available now. They just got out today.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Sherwood Schwartz, Jack Rose, Dick McKnight from Bob Hope's show, Dev Friedman from the Fanny Bryce Baby Snooks, Mac Benoff from Duffy's Tavern, and Al Lewis from Bob Benchley.
Well, that's a great bunch of writers, and it's quite a talent list that you've had on your programs over there, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We've had the cream. And
how much would it cost a sponsor if you were going to pay for it all?
In the past year, if a sponsor had paid for all that talent, it would have cost him $16 million.
Well, that's a lot of money. I understand that all of those people have come over there and been glad to work for the GIs.
Oh, absolutely.
And you certainly brought the best to those who deserved it. And, Charlie, it's been fun to meet up with you again. And now, those very favorite words of mine, Bromo Seltzer has for you. So you can take your work home with you, or not, as the case may be. We have this big, barely portable record player.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Is that a big one? And that's not all. We have a complete set of most unusual golf clubs. They're McDonald Smith clubs. They're forged in Scotland, and they're all in a bag forged or fabricated in the United States.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks very much, and good luck to your team of press pass, Charles Isaac. Okay, folks.
And 9 irons in that bag, Warren. Folks, big moments and little moments add up to make a life. It's one of the little moments that Dick Joy wants to tell you about.
There's nothing dramatic, nothing exciting about standing over a hot stove all day. But when the weather's hot, too, Mother may wind up with a headache. So it's turn to Bromo Seltzer for fast relief. And Mother shows up smiling, as she should at supper. Yes, plain days and holidays, when headache strikes, try Bromo Seltzer. You'll find no faster effective relief. Bromo Seltzer promptly helps relieve, first, headache itself, then upset stomach and jangled nerves that headache may have as companions. You can take Bromo-Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo-Seltzer comes in four popular sizes. Be at your best for humdrum duties or hilarious fun. Buy a bottle of Bromo-Seltzer from your druggist tonight and...
Fight headaches three ways!
Back with the Armed Forces Radio Service, the folks that put out the finest program for the finest folks in the world. And now, for that sweet, unaffected American girl, known to every man in every service as G.I. Jill. She has the largest audience of any radio personality, and that includes Hopes, Crosby's, Fibber McGee's, and Mahler's, and Fox Pop. I see her over there in the wings now, just back from the studio on which we eavesdropped while she was doing a little G.I. jive. Now, I'm going to try to describe her for you, for you servicemen who may be out there listening. She's about 5 feet three, and her hair, well, let's see, her eyes, Sergeant... Come here, Sergeant. I can't put it in G.I. language and describe G.I. Jill. Take a look over there and see what she looks like to you.
Fellas, it's something like out of this world. It's gorgeous. Something you dream, you laugh, you sing, you shout about. You just lay there, that's all.
Uh-oh, now, wait. Now, Sergeant, that's enough at the moment, Sergeant Bernard Hughes of Chicago. I want to hear you again. Because I think from that your G.I. buddies know just about how G.I. Jill looks. Here she is in person from Los Angeles, Miss Martha Wilkerson. Come on, Martha. Marty, did you hear all that business?
Well, I heard part of it. I want to hear that again later.
Well, we're going to give you a recording of that. Not that you don't know about recordings, but I'd like for you to hear that because, really, I think both the sergeant and I felt just about like we sounded on that. Tell me, you do love your program, don't you?
Oh, I certainly do.
Yeah?
Oh, I wouldn't want to do anything else.
A little closer to the mic.
Okay.
Do you happen to have anybody in the service?
Yes, I have a husband in the service, and I have two brothers in the service.
That sort of tells why you like this thing, don't you? How many programs a week you do?
Seven.
Seven?
Mm-hmm.
One each day, huh?
That's right.
G.I. Jill, 6 days a week, I understand. And what's that seventh one?
Well, that's Jill's all-time jukebox. That's the old great records of all time.
And you go to a lot of hospitals around?
Yes, I do. I've been out to Birmingham and Long Beach Naval. And...
Tell me, I'm interested. How about the boys when you go into a hospital who have heard you and who've never seen you? Isn't it rather interesting?
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah? What did it say to you?
Well...
I know it varies.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Give me some of it.
Well, it's like meeting an old friend, really, Parks. It is. They seem to know me. They say they feel that way about me.
Some of them have written you fan mail, too, haven't they, I'll bet.
Uh-huh.
Say, what do they write you about, Jill?
Oh, they write about everything, about what they want to do and about their folks.
Uh-huh.
And mostly about home.
Yes, home it is, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Tell me, confidentially, did you ever get any proposals in those letters?
Well, yes, but they're only in fun. For example, I'll tell you one. The other day I got a letter from... about six Marines, and it said, "Dear Jill, we love you. Will you marry us?"
Well, now, if you think about that, that really tells the story of how the fellows feel about G.I. Jill, who is to them everything that home and the things that they love. That's what she is. What are some of the things that, other things that you talked to the boys about? Of course, you were answering something there a while ago.
Well, you heard the birthday cake. Well, things like that, one boy, I recall, who always had the pleasure, as he put it, of mashing the potatoes at home of an evening.
Yeah.
So he said I sounded sort of like his wife, and she always used to call him. His name was Bing, by the way, and he asked me to say, "Bing, the mashed potatoes are ready."
And you
just
did,
like
huh?
his wife.
Whatever
yeah,
they want, you try to do, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Arthur, you have given so many millions of men so much pleasure, and we wanted on Vox Pop for the folks back home to know just who it was when the fellows come back and say, "G.I. Jill, G.I. Jill," we wanted them to hear you. It's grand that you've taken time out to come be with us tonight. And now, from good old Bromo Seltzer, something that we think a young lady like you would like. You like to wear lovely clothes. You do wear lovely clothes. First of all, it's an outfit that'll look mighty swell when you wear it. It's a two-piece gray tweed suit with white pinstripes and a gray crepe blouse to match. And second, Here's a sport outfit to go with it. It's a skirt, fuchsia, and it's, well, I don't know these names Dave has written down yet. Anyway, a pair of lovely sweaters to go with it. We hope you enjoy
that. Oh, Christ, it's wonderful. Thank you
Thank you a lot, Martha Wilkerson, G.I. Jill. Well.
And now, bring Jill back. Now, Vox pops the question. We're all going to gather around this microphone. You know, we have people here concerned with different types of programs, and I want to ask them which they think are more popular, the serious programs, the long-haired, or the popular, the jive. Now, Lieutenant Carstensen, you ran a radio station over there. What would you say?
Well, I think the variety programs with plenty of popular, sweet music.
That's your opinion. How about you, Peter Witt? Which has the greater appeal? Do you
well,
think?
I think that after all that bang-bang in the fields, they like a little bit soft and good music in the evening.
He's prejudiced.
They don't want bang-bang in music, huh? Well, Jill, I know you'd say it's popular anyway, because that's all your program is. It's popular music, isn't it?
Well, yes, but I think that sweet swing is good music, Peter.
Well, it's good to you.
Now, Sergeant Hughes, we know that you want to put in your 2 cents. Which do you think is the more popular?
I'll stick with Jill. Be your boyfriend always.
Well, by the way, Sergeant, do you think that Jill would be even more popular if they could see her?
I sure do.
Speak up a little bit.
Top.
She'd be the top.
She sure would.
You think it's time for television to come in now, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
How about you, Charlie Isaac?
About the music?
Yeah.
As far as classics. Yeah. Well, some of the boys like classical, but most of them really like the stuff that'll melt the ice in Grandpa's plumbing.
Oh, they do. Well, Peter, you're in charge of the long hair department. Would you really like to do a jive program?
I would love it, but they won't even let me hold the stopwatch on our jive show.
Well, he's a square.
Oh, Jiggly.
He's a
square.
He's a square?
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't see why.
You mean that long hair should have a GI cut? Well, now, that really suggests something. I'd like to ask you what your secret ambition is. What would you like to be, Lieutenant Carstensen?
Well, I'd like to put radio programs out over a radio station that stands still when it's off of wheels.
Yes. Well, how about you, Peter? What would you like to?
Well, I think eventually I would like to wind up in motion pictures and produce.
Why?
Well, there are lots of things that are good. Not the least is the paycheck, and yeah. And I think it's a wonderful medium to work in.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
How about you,
radio,
Jill?
Too.
Oh, don't forget radio. How about you, Jill? Come on now, tell us, what would you really like to be?
Well, I like what I am. I like being Jill.
Well, you certainly, I know there are 5 million guys who wouldn't have you change for anything. Sergeant Hughes, now, what would you really like to be?
One of them 5 million, I still want to stick with her.
You still want to stick with her, huh? Say, Charlie Isaacs, is there anything that you really, that's the secret ambition of yours?
Yes.
I mean, can you come out with it now?
I can.
Yeah.
I want to be a civilian.
We could go on for days with this group, but I'm afraid time is up, isn't it, Parker?
Yeah, Warren, time's about up, and we appreciate Jill and Sergeant and all you fellows what you've had to say there. It's wonderful. It's time now to say goodbye to you of the Armed Forces Radio Service, because there's still a big job ahead of you. We know that. Millions of men overseas will be needing your grand programs for a long time to come, and we hope you'll be calling on Vox Pop whenever we can help.
Next week, Vox Pop takes you behind the scenes at Paramount Pictures. We're going to join Paramount in celebrating the third of a century birthday. And along with darling Diana Lynn will be that great traveling salesman, that man who has brought so much happiness to so many fighting men in so many parts of the world, Bob Hope.
Yeah, we're going to be glad to have Bob with us. And I know that you're going to have some fun next week, folks. So tell a neighbor to tune in on Vox Pop next Monday, won't you? Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit the folks who make Paramount Pictures in Hollywood. Their special guests will be Diana Lynn and Bob Hope, just back from his latest trip overseas. But remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.